Hello and welcome back to Growth for Good, the podcast where we explore stories of people building better businesses, driven by values and powered by purpose. Today's episode is all about roots, resilience and reinvention. It's about what happens when you take something ancient, something steeped in tradition and family memory, and use it to build into a modern business that speaks to health, ethics and community. My guest is Rajkumar Danara, a kombucha brewer, community leader and entrepreneur who's built his business around one simple but powerful question. Would I give this to my kids? Now, he didn't set out to chase trends. He didn't cut corners to grow fast. Instead, he took the long road, the hard road, from developing recipes handed down by his grandmother to testing batches with local people in the park to eventually setting up shop here in the Highlands. Rajkumar's journey is about doing things the right way, even when it's not the easy way. We talk about his decision to move to Scotland, the science and soul of fermentation, and how he found strength through community, family and faith when the pandemic brought everything to a halt before it had properly begun. There's a moment in this episode, well, there's several actually, where you'll hear what real purpose sounds like. And if you've ever tried to build something with integrity, if you've ever wondered whether doing it your way is enough, this story is for you. So let's get into it. I began by asking Rajkumar to break it down for us. What exactly is kombucha and why does it matter?
Thank you, Drew. Thank you for having me today. Kombucha, if I say it very simple words, kombucha is a fermented tea. And where you make a tea and then you ferment with the SCOBY, the mother cultures, and where you just leave it for a certain days of fermentation until you get the product is ready to drink. And there are so much different ways, but particularly the way you produce this is the kind of one kind that people make kombucha. And once the drink is ready, then you can drink raw kombucha or you can make it as a flavor as well. And kombucha is good for your gut. It's a healthy drink and it's traditionally started in Asia. And then it just started moving towards the world. And now if you say it's biggest in States, Australia, even in Europe, this is a way, way bigger market. Mm-hmm. It's completely new for the UK, but it's a growing market. And they're just predicting the sales will go up, up to maybe 25 million in another couple of years' time. So this is what it's all about, kombucha. The cultures, what you're drinking, it's a live cultures. So when you're taking the live cultures, I mean, it is recommended by WHO. You know, you should take like healthy bacteria. You know, you should take they're recommending live culture every single day. You should take that. Okay, the recipe came. I just copied the recipe from my grandmother. It's from the family, so it's several decades. You know, they used to brew kombucha at home and used to drink, and even I used to drink kombucha as a kid. I still remember all those, you know, recipes and things, and that's how it all started.
Curious about his roots, I wanted to understand the why behind it all. What sparked someone to turn a traditional family recipe into a purpose-driven business? In true Growth for Good fashion, I asked Rajkumar where this journey really began and what inspired it.
You know, I used to drink kombucha and I know how it has been made and what the traditional way of brewing it and how you can make it delicious, because kombucha generally is more vinegary, you cannot enjoy it. But when I was a kid, I used to drink and I still enjoy the drink. That's how I learned it.
And how did you make the leap from brewing kombucha in your own kitchen to building it into a full-blown business idea?
But when I decided to start brewing kombucha commercially, it started in a different way around. I had a plan to start a herbal infused beer, but somewhere, you know, I'm not getting it right because I was thinking about getting into the healthy sector, so how to make sure balancing between commercial and doing the right product for the community or the people. So then suddenly, you know, I thought, why not kombucha? Because by the time, this is what I'm talking about when I was in my university, 2009-2010, it was completely new to UK market itself. And I haven't seen, you know, the kombucha has been in the commercially is a bigger level. So that, why not do that? So that's how it all started. And then slowly, once I completed my degree, and then once I started working, then I started working on that to see how we can develop this into the commercial market. Well, I was working with Mark and Spencer, so it's completely different, you know, it was. But I used to brew kombucha at home to drink myself, so I didn't completely stay away. You know, I used to make kombucha at home. It's just a small jar of kombucha, and then I used to brew, and then I used to drink.
I wanted to understand how he tested those first batches. Where did the early feedback come from, and how did people respond? What Rajkumar shares here really captures the importance of listening to your community.
And that's how one day suddenly they said, okay, try this one. But brewing at home is completely different to brewing commercially. So it had a lot of challenges, you know, so how to do a lot of trial and error. We used to do that. That's how it all started, you know, in the small batches and then taking to the park, you know, getting the tasting events done, getting the feedbacks, you know, then we thought, okay, right, we are going in the right direction.
The Highlands doesn't have a tradition of brewing kombucha. So why here? What drew you to this particular location?
Well, it was back in London, down south, it all started. And but it was very small scale when we were doing it in the London. And then it's everything changed. Okay. And initially, when we started in London, you know, it was going fine. And we were planning to go into the next level of, you know, setting up the brewery and then to more commercially. But myself, I was just thinking about the one best thing about kombucha is the water and the air quality. Because the SCOBY is breathing the air and the water that you're feeding to that, it makes a big difference in the taste. Because that's what I have experienced since drinking the different kombuchas, different way of fermentation. Then I thought, where can I find the best quality water? The biggest challenge is getting the best quality air. So I was doing a lot of research, you know, where I can end up with. And then I was having a petrol station in Great Yarmouth by the time. And then we were searching towards it. And that obviously, this is how the Scotland came into mind because of the water. But the reason we went to Elgin is the air and the water. This is one of the major reasons that we decided to move to Scotland. And then started living in Inverness, but the brewery based in Elgin because we found Elgin, the Speyside water is far better than Inverness. When we go to the trade shows and all, when I discuss about it, and people get surprised to hear that, you know, because generally people think about locations for several reasons, but the reason we choose this location, just purely water and air quality. But we can see that it makes a big difference in the drink. Personally, I would say it's probably one of the best decisions I have ever made. And when we moved here, we used to have a Krish, the first one, the wee fella was just 1 year old. So it was a big move, even for my wife. So we were thinking, oh, are we doing the right thing or not? But it's great. When I was in down south, yes, I felt it was a bit rude, you know. It's not very friendly, not welcoming. But when I moved to Scotland, that's a big difference. You know, you see the people are more welcoming and the environment is more safe. My insurance straight away went down 60%. Top of that, you get the business benefits too. So I would say probably one of the best decisions I have ever made. Once the business started and then the community-wise, I've been a president of Highland Indian Association, where we're just trying to do a lot of work towards them. The Indian Association is there for 25 years, but I've been president for the last 1 year now. And then I do contribute for the Highland Cricket Association too, as I'm the secretary of Highland Indian Cricket Association. These two big commitments I do have, you know. So with the Cricket Association, we're trying our best to promote the cricket in Highlands and Islands. And then now we can say probably we are one of the biggest team in Highlands, where a few years before we used to struggle to have 11 players for the team play, but where we're having 45 to 50 members now in the club. So, I mean, the cricket is more personal. It's a bit challenging, honestly speaking, because, you know, balancing personal and then community work is always challenging, but you have to commit yourself at least, you know, twice or thrice in a month. Make sure you just work as a team and then have a plan in place to see how we can grow this and whatever it is a cricket or, you know, whatever you do, just having a plan in place to see how we can grow that into the community. So when it comes to the cricket, yes, we try to encourage the kids, the younger generation. So we were just providing a lot of facilities for them to make sure they just come forward and then join us and then just be a welcoming club. And people are joining with us, you know, enjoying. And then we're just trying to elaborate in that way.
Moving countries is one thing, but building a business in a new culture is a completely different thing altogether. What were the challenges of adapting to the Scottish system, the Highlands, and were there any surprises along the way?
The early challenges I had is knowing the place, understanding the culture. It's a big difference. Moving from England to Scotland itself, it gave me a lot of cultural shock, I would say.
Because he needs an example.
And I just, okay, my accountant, he said he cannot work for Scotland straight away. And the solicitor who I know there, he said he cannot work. I was like, oh my goodness, it's a big. Yes, and I didn't understand at all. I said, why you can't work? You know, yeah. Because I thought initially UK is a country, so it should be the same everywhere. And then I understood it's completely different in terms of even licensing. I used to have an alcohol license, which is not valid anymore. I have to get the new license. The licensing policy is completely different. I mean, it's the regulations, rules, and the laws are completely different. So you have to understand how the Scotland system is working. And the preferences, people preferences is completely different. Mm-hmm. I never heard about morning rolls. I never heard about haggis. Yeah. So these are the things, you know. Then I thought, okay, no, the first thing I should do is spend a couple of years' time. And then...
And what did you do during that couple of years' time?
I own the shop, Drummond Stores, the post office in Inverness, Coolittle Road. Mm-hmm. That's my shop, you know. Mm-hmm. Initially, when I moved to Scotland, to Highlands, I bought the shop. And then to run the shop, to understand it and everything. Spent a lot of time, a couple of years I was there. Because when I was thinking about the production, I chose the other way around. I was thinking to go from the bottom layer, mm-hmm. like start from the retail shops, petrol stations, so that you understand directly the customers, what they're looking for. And as a shopkeeper, as a retailer, what they are expecting from the suppliers, from the production. And then you can understand the supply chain as well, like the logistics system. Like if you tie up with some supply company like Spar, Booker's, mm-hmm. Cost Cutter, whoever it is, then you can know how they are supplying, what the margin is working, what's the challenges there. So this is why I choose that path, you know. So that helping quite a lot now. So when we're producing and selling to the retailers, we know exactly what the retailer is looking for, the margin, the date, you know, the shelf life, and how we need to train the staff. So the system is helping me to implement.
And just as things were beginning to take shape, the world shut down. For so many entrepreneurs, the pandemic was a make or break moment. How did you cope? What did you lean on? Who supported you? How did you keep your belief alive during that time?
Pandemic hit before we were planning to set up itself. So we completely shut everything down, you know. So, and almost 3 to 4 years. Because suddenly, as a startup company, this is the last thing you would like to hear, to experience that. And this is completely new from nowhere. So nobody can have a backup plan, you know, making a contingency plan. There is nothing you could do about it. And nobody knows when it's going to end as well. So it was like a very tough situation going on. And then we were just thinking about, what shall I do? Shall I completely quit? Mm-hmm. And thanks to my wife is a dentist, to Dr. Saranya. Dr. Saranya Selvaraj. So she supported me all the way. She gave the confidence. She said, okay, we put all the hard work, don't ever give up. She supported in all the way. So that gave me the confidence to say, okay, just hold on to that. So thankfully, we just got over that phase. And then we completely, you know, I would say it's completely reborn. So we have to start everything from the scratch. Brewery set up everything completely, moved to Elgin, where we found the place. And then finding the place itself was a bit challenging, because getting a warehouse for this kind of brewery setup is really challenging. We couldn't get the place, you know, but we managed to get some, and then we brewed. I would say without her, I couldn't do anything. That's for sure, because she's the backbone of my inner strength. You know, she can motivate, you know, whenever you're down, because you need it, even though you don't show it out, you know, because as a man, you have been brought up. But inner side, you know that you need some kind of support. You need a tap to move on, so which she has done. And then for anyone, I would say, you need somebody to stay just behind and then give that, you know, the support to go ahead. There's no doubt about it. So you will have ups and downs all the time. And especially, you know, coming across the challenges like pandemic, that's completely, you know, the one you can turn around your life. So when you have the support like that, you know, it changes your life phase again. You know, I mean, I would say you will have both directions. You know, I have came across people who straight away put you down. And you have other set of people who always encourages you. So you have to take that positive and then move forward. There are a lot of people out there from the, you know, commercial side, personal side, you know, my friends and families. And if I talk about the business, the distributors, even a small retailers, small cafes, you know, who buy the stock from us, you know, they're always being encouraging, you know, they keep encouraging, Roy, you're doing great. You know, this is brilliant. Just do that. Other side, you know, the bigger businesses, bigger, the bigger names, you know, you can put you down straight away. Yeah. This is a kind of balancing you to take that and then keep a positive note with you and move forward.
Okay, when the going gets tough, when you have those moments of self-doubt and, you know, things seem really difficult and challenging, what keeps you grounded? What do you hold on to? And what keeps the vision alive for you?
I just keep it very simple. I just ask myself whether I'm doing right. I feel, if I say commercially, the product what we are doing, I make sure it tastes better, the quality is there. And then you think about the community, you think about the environment. If you can tick all these boxes, you will say, keep your head right, keep moving forward. That's it. Because there are, you know, the preferences differs, but as long as you tick all these boxes, you know, you're not harming anybody. You're trying to help the community with the healthy choice, you know, and healthy product is always a challenging in the market. You can take a sugary alcohol drinks to the market. You can be successful easily. But taking the healthy product, going to the market is always challenging. So I knew that, and then I took the challenge. So I keep telling myself, believe, self-belief, and then keep believing in myself, and then just put forward. And even when one small good things happen, you know, that gives a lot of boost, you know. So this is, as I said, you know, where we try 30, 40 businesses, and you get okay from 2-3 business, that it gives a good confidence, right, here you go. And so many occasions, even our e-commerce is our biggest strength. Mm-hmm. When the customers are buying through our website, I get emails, you know, the reviews, feedbacks through the emails or the social media platform saying, I had this drink, never tasted the kombucha before like that. And even a one comment like that makes your day. And you say, there you go, just go ahead. Nothing can stop us. I would say it's a bit harder than I thought. Mm-hmm. I can see a lot of positive things in the last 6 to 9 months span of time. And we were just thinking about, you know, changing different strategies towards the market. Because this is all you learn from your experience. You know, initially you think, okay, we go in this way. And then you find, oh, no, that's not working. It's all about trial and error. Because the product is new, still a niche market. So you have that challenge. So it's educating about the product, educating the community, educating the businesses is always challenging. And as a startup company, you have restrictions, you know, financially too. So you have to think everything together and then make a plan of what you're going to do. So it's tough, but the positive, you know, the side that the gates are always open. So we are having a plan for about the next 3 years.
Okay, tell me what those 3 years look like. What's your, and what's beyond? What's your long-term vision for the brand? What does success look like? Is it sales? Is it beyond sales? What is your vision for the future for Compassion Kombucha and indeed your business?
So hopefully we can hit the target. The plan for us within the next 3 years span, I mean from 2025, would say, you know, reach out whole Scotland as much as possible and try to reach out through the distributors. Through the distributors, contacting the retail businesses, cafes, hotels, restaurants, whatever possible, and attend more tasting events, trade shows to show you're there, you're existed, you know, so creating the mark. For the commercial side, for the businesses, the trade shows, the tasting event, these are the best things. You know, the local, there are a lot of shows happening in the area, so that's where we go and, you know, exhibit ourselves. Mm-hmm. So the business people are getting an opportunity to taste our product. And then they find a difference. That's how it goes. For the retail customers, obviously they buy on our website and then they try it. But the good thing, the people who buy on the website, most of them are the kombucha drinkers already.
Right.
It's a very limited people buy new. So they know what is kombucha, how it tastes and everything. And once they buy, the only difference is how they are going to like your brand. And if they like it, they're just going to be your customers, you know, loyal customers. You know, it's just maintaining as a long term. So that's the only difference. And for the businesses, it's kind of you're giving an opportunity for them to taste and then to decide to buy and then move forward. That's how we managed to get, you know, the hotels, cafes in and around the Highland and Islands. So that's how we managed to gain our the retail customers.
And what's the long-term vision for you?
The long-term vision is trying to become number one brand in UK. So that's a challenge. And that's we're planning. That's our ambition, you know, trying to become number one brand. You know, maybe not in terms of, you know, turnover, you know, but in terms of quality, in terms of sustainability, you know, in terms of, you know, going with more responsible, you know, society responsible. The priority for us is in terms of quality, you know, in terms of sustainability, more ethical, and in all these terms, we would like to become number one in the market. So that's a vision for us, and also long-term vision we're working towards with. We're very positive, and I think we are in the right path. We're going towards that. We're making a slight changes into our, you know, the way of marketing, the way we pitch the product, and, you know, for instance, going from the crown cap to the screw cap. So those kind of opportunities will giving opening up a little more in, you know, when we're reaching out to the catering side and everywhere. So we are very positive. So moving towards to that one. And, by the way it goes, hopefully, you know, we will try to recruit more people this year and then the coming years.
What are those plans? Do you see a big increase in the staff that you'll need in the future to meet your goals?
We are aiming to provide more local employment as much as possible. I would say it's very challenging nowadays, you know, recruiting employees, getting the right ones. It's always challenging, but hopefully we can get it. And then we were very positive to increase the number of our team in the coming years.
And aside from recruitment, what are the business challenges that you face as you're trying to grow this new brand, this new business into a number one player?
The challenges, I would say, the cost price of the materials. And we feel, especially after Brexit, you know, it's a big gap, you know, getting the cost effective materials, you know, start from bottles, you know, caps, boxes, cardboard boxes and everything. So and we have to find out the alternative solutions, you know, without, because you cannot put the prices up straight away, you know, because of the cost. You have to think about the customers too. So there's a big challenging there, and the electricity cost, obviously. So it's, these are the big challenges we do have at the moment. So we're trying to balancing between the both, you know, not putting the prices too much, but trying to tackle those challenges. So yes, hopefully we can win the challenge and then moving forward towards our vision.
One of the key things about Growth for Good is being able to pass wisdom on and to help others by sharing your vision, your trials, the opportunities, the things that you've broken through with. What's the best piece of advice you've had, and what can you share with us about that advice?
The best bit of advice that I ever had is from my parents. Always said, you know, just love around the people, you know, try to do the best to everyone, you know, and then don't be a selfish. That's one thing I have learned from my parents.
Don't be selfish.
That's right. So that's what I have learned from my parents, you know, try to be good as much as possible. So, and that, I would say the same, that's what I'm telling to my kids as well, you know, try to help, you know, others, you know, whatever you could in the possible way. And, you know, do the best for the planet too. You know, don't spoil the planet. Don't take it as a granted. So if you respect the nature, and if you love the people around you, you know, you will have a love and peace in the life.
That was Raj Kumar Dhanaraj from Compassion Kombucha. Try the drink, it's delicious. And he was sharing not just the story of a business, but the heart behind it. From his childhood memories of his grandmother's brews to building a kombucha brand shaped by ethics, resilience and community. His journey reminds us that doing things with care still matters, particularly here in the Highlands. So whether it's sourcing clean water, taking products to the park for honest feedback from real people, or choosing not to compromise on ingredients, what stood out was growth isn't just about scale, it's about purpose, it's about people, and it's about having the courage to ask, am I doing the right thing? And that's the spirit of Growth for Good. We'll be back soon with more stories from people who are building better businesses grounded in values that last. Until then, thank you for listening. You can follow Growth for Good on Spotify, subscribe to Apple Podcasts, or listen online at drewhendry.scot. If this episode resonated with you, we'd love it if you shared it, left a review, or sent it to someone who needs a little encouragement to do good and grow well.